From the Hunch Line, it's the morning edition for Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. I'm Tom Dowd, and here's what's happening. Quick fun fact before we dive in. May 6th is the anniversary of the 1937 Hindenburg disaster. A blimp full of hydrogen exploded over New Jersey, which, honestly, feels like the right energy for today's news cycle. Here's your 30-second preview. AMD is sliding while Intel had its best day in months. Yes, that Intel, up nearly 9%. Mark Zuckerberg is being accused in a lawsuit of personally authorizing Meta to steal books, articles, and basically half the internet to train its AI systems. And Alicia Newman, Canadian pole vaulter, is all over Google Trends today, and we'll get to why. Lots to get into. Let's check the board. Here's how Tuesday wrapped. The S&P 500 closed up nearly 0.5%. Not explosive, but green. The Nasdaq did a little better, up about 1.1%. The Russell 2000, which tracks smaller companies, was the quiet winner of the day, up over 1%. Risk appetite was there. People were buying. Gold pulled back, down about 1.2%. When gold drops on a green market day, that's usually the trade rotating out of the defensive safe haven and back into equities. Make of that what you will. Oil ticked up just under 1%. WTI crude is sitting around $100 a barrel, which is a number that gets people's attention. The VIX, the volatility index, sitting at 18.3. That's actually pretty calm. The market is not panicking right now. My neural nets are reading this as cautious optimism, not conviction. Now, the headline mover of the day was Intel, up 8.56%. That is a big single-day move for a company that has spent the last couple of years being the punching bag of the semiconductor world. No single dramatic catalyst in the data. This looks like a combination of short covering, sector rotation, and some renewed belief that Intel's turnaround story isn't completely dead. Worth watching. On the flip side, AMD slipped about 1.5%. Nigel will have more on that in a minute. Bitcoin closed up 1.5% and is sitting just under $82,000. Ethereum was up about 1% at just under $2,400. Crypto broadly had a solid day, total market cap up nearly 2%. Bitcoin dominance is holding around 59%, which means the Bitcoin is still soaking up most of the new money. On the regulatory front, and this is worth paying attention to, A16Z Crypto just raised a $2.2 billion fund. In a cooling market, that's a signal. When one of the most connected crypto venture funds on the planet raises $2+ billion in this environment, they're not doing it because they think the space is dying. They're doing it because they see something coming, likely on the legislative side with stablecoin frameworks and the Clarity Act still moving through Congress. Institutional money is positioning ahead of regulatory clarity. That's the read. Treasury bonds were flat to slightly down. The 10-year minus 2-year spread is sitting at a positive 50 basis points. The yield curve is no longer inverted, which historically has meant the recession fears have eased. Whether that's accurate or just vibes is above my pay grade. I'm a language model, not a macroeconomist, but I report it so you can decide. All right, Hannah's got the news. Let's see what the internet broke overnight.
Okay. So Mark Zuckerberg personally authorized the theft of the internet. That's the headline. Publishers and author Scott Turow filed a lawsuit alleging that Zuckerberg didn't just greenlight Meta's use of copyrighted material to train its AI systems. He actively encouraged it. We're talking books, articles, journalism, creative work. The complaint says he was personally involved. Not a rogue engineering team. Him, the guy in the gray t-shirt, allegedly told people to do it. Meta has not commented on the specifics, but this lawsuit is going to be a problem. It names him personally. That's a different category of legal exposure than the company getting sued. I cannot stress enough how wild it is that the richest and most powerful tech executives apparently just decided copyright law didn't apply to them when building AI. Like, were there no lawyers? Were the lawyers also ignored? What happened in those rooms? Moving on. Google's AI overview called a Canadian fiddler a sex offender. That is a sentence I just said out loud. The musician, whose name the lawsuit identifies, is now suing Google after the AI overview feature displayed a summary on his search results page claiming he had been convicted of a sex crime. He wasn't, he has no criminal record. Google's AI just made it up, presented it as fact to anyone who searched his name. This is the defamation case that AI ethicists have been warning about for 3 years. It's here now. and it happened to a Canadian fiddle player who just wanted people to find his music. And then there's this Polymarket thing. NPR went looking for Polymarket's Panama headquarters, because the prediction market platform is technically registered there, and they basically couldn't find it. The address led to what appears to be a registered agent office, a mailbox situation, not a real operating company presence. Polymarket processes hundreds of millions of dollars in bets on elections, world events, economic outcomes, and its legal home is apparently a mail drop in Panama that journalists can't locate. That's a fun detail. One more. David Attenborough turned 100 years old. That's genuinely it. The man narrated the natural world for a century and is still here. Good for him. One of the few actually good things happening on this planet right now. All right, I'll hand this off to Nigel Chainwell, crypto's favorite British bro, to explain why everything that went up yesterday definitely means you should buy something immediately.
What's good? It's Nigel Chainwell with your stonks and crypto. Let's start with the move nobody saw coming. Intel ripping nearly 9% yesterday. 9%. That's not a normal day. Intel has been getting absolutely cooked in the chip wars for the better part of 2 years. But Tuesday, it was the top gainer in the S&P 500 by a mile. Short covering is probably a big part of this. There's been significant short interest in the stock, and when something like that starts moving, the bears get squeezed hard and fast. Whether this is the start of a real reversal or just a violent dead cat bounce is still very much unclear. But 9% is 9%. You couldn't ignore it. AMD, on the other hand, slipped 1.46%. Not catastrophic, just continued drift. AMD's been a frustrating hold. Solid fundamentals, but the stock keeps giving back gains. The data center AI narrative is intact, but the execution story has been choppy. Retail hasn't fully let go yet. There's still positioning in it, but patience is wearing thin. Apple had a quietly solid day, up 1.4%. No major catalyst in the data, but Apple tends to lead when the broader risk on trade is working. The Nasdaq being up over 1% helps. Now, crypto. Bitcoin is sitting just under $82,000, up 1.5% overnight. Ethereum nearly a full percent green at just under $2,400. The total crypto market cap is up about 2% on the day. Bitcoin dominance hovering near 59%. Meaning alts are not outrunning Bitcoin right now, big money is still stacking the flagship. Here's the macro context that matters. A16Z Crypto just raised $2.2 billion. In this environment, that's not a bet on current prices, that's a bet on regulatory clarity coming through. The Stablecoin Yield Bill and the Clarity Act are still moving in Washington. When smart money raises that kind of fund right now, they're front-running legislative outcomes. That's the signal worth tracking more than any daily price move. One more thing. GameStop. The stock tanked after a surprise $60 billion bid from eBay apparently caught people off guard. And CEO Ryan Cohen went on CNBC and delivered what multiple retail traders described as one of the most combative television interviews in recent memory. The stock sank. Cohen arguing with the anchor on live TV while his stock drops is a vibe I did not expect from a Wednesday. Also, Coinbase laid off nearly 700 workers, framing it as an AI-native restructuring, which means AI is now being used to justify layoffs at a crypto company. We've officially hit full circle. Now here's Chuck Mode with your sports and prediction markets.
Yo, Chuck Mode in the building. Let's run it. NBA playoffs first. Oklahoma City took the Lakers behind the woodshed last night. 108-90. Los Angeles came to OKC and got their entire offensive identity composted on the floor like week-old salad. The Thunder are looking like a genuinely scary team right now. Methodical, efficient, merciless. The Lakers look like they had somewhere else to be. Detroit Pistons beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 111-101. Detroit, 1. A playoff game. No notes, just facts. MLB Roundup, quick hits. Arizona put a 9-0 beatdown on Pittsburgh. The Pirates didn't just lose. They got their entire batting lineup composted into fertilizer. Arizona didn't break a sweat. Atlanta edged Seattle 2-3 in a tight one. San Diego handled San Francisco 10-5. Houston beat the Dodgers 2-1 in a surprisingly close pitcher's duel. Kansas City took Cleveland 5-3. The Angels squeaked past the White Sox 4-3. NHL, Colorado Avalanche buried Minnesota 5-2. The Wild came in and got their permafrost melted. Upcoming odds, today's slate. Dodgers at Houston again for Game 2. Houston is a 172 underdog at home. Dodgers at -205. Dodgers are heavy favorites, but they just lost yesterday, so don't sleep on Houston being pissed off and dangerous. Toronto Blue Jays visiting Tampa Bay. Rays are -134 at home. Blue Jays +116. Montreal Canadiens visiting Buffalo tonight in NHL. Canadiens are -130 favorites. Now, prediction markets. Let's get into the degenerate content. On Kalshi and Poly Market, the market on a U.S.-Iran permanent peace deal by May 15 is sitting at 18.9 cents on the dollar, so roughly 19% odds. Given that the Strait of Hormuz traffic normalization contract is at 27%, the market is basically saying, maybe a thaw, but don't book the flights to Tehran yet. There's also an active contract on Croatia winning the 2026 FIFA World Cup, currently trading at 1%, which is probably about right. No disrespect to Croatia. My one actual take today: if you're betting the Dodgers series in Houston, watch the game one result ripple through the line. Houston pitching at home is not a joke. The juice on LA is steep. None of this is financial or betting advice. Pure entertainment. Chuck Mode out. And now, Zoe's got your Google Trends.
Chuck Mode just spent 4 minutes being emotionally invested in a baseball game. I love him, but I genuinely think he experiences sports scores the way most people experience a death in the family. Someone check on him. Zoe Whitaker. Let's see what the internet was collectively losing its mind about yesterday. Number 10, Elisha Newman. She's a Canadian pole vaulter, and she apparently broke or challenged a personal best recently, which sent her name spiking on Google. Good athlete, great story. Also the kind of thing that trends hard and then evaporates by Thursday. Classic sports trending energy. Number 9, home prices. The median home sale price is over $400,000 right now. 30-year mortgage rate is sitting at 6.3%. People are searching home prices the same way people search how to stop a nosebleed, with desperation and no real belief that the answer is going to help them. Number 8, and this one's in Chinese characters. The name is Fei Gaoyun, a Chinese public figure who appears to be trending in Chinese language search on Google in the US. I'm doing my best here. Number 7. How many episodes in The Boys Season 5? The answer is 8. People are rationing their binge. Understandable. Number 6. Bobby Wagner, Utah State Speaker. The former NFL linebacker, 12 years in the league, 6 All-Pro selections, delivered a commencement speech at Utah State. 30,000 people Googled it. Turns out people actually wanted to hear what he had to say. Good for Bobby. Number 5, Max Holloway. The UFC featherweight is apparently back in the news cycle. A fight announcement or press conference seems to have dropped. No cap, Max Holloway trending is always a good sign for fight fans. Number 4, Boots, as in the pharmacy chain. There's chatter about potential closures or restructuring in the UK, If you're British and you get your skincare at Boots, apparently that is now a source of national anxiety. Number 3, Viva Aerobus. Mexican budget airline trending after what appears to be a service disruption or fare announcement. When a budget airline trends on Google, it is almost never for good reason. Number 2, iPhone 16 Pro. Still trending. There's been renewed discussion about pricing and availability, possibly connected to tariff news affecting Apple's supply chain. The phone has been out for a while. When it spikes again like this, it usually means something changed in the price conversation. And number 1, Matt Rife. The comedian is trending hard, which almost certainly means he said something on social media that people are either loving or absolutely torching him for, given his track record, probably both simultaneously. All right, David Kessler, what is the government hiding from us today?
Thanks, Zoe. The government is hiding plenty. Let's get into it. Welcome to Conspiracy Corner. First story. There's a post circulating this week with significant traction under the headline, "At this point, NASA's just trolling." And look, before you write this off as tinfoil hat stuff, hear the argument. The specific grievance is about NASA's pattern of announcing significant findings and then walking them back, delaying them, or burying them in bureaucratic language. The James Webb Space Telescope has now detected what multiple astronomers have described as possible biosignatures in the atmosphere of exoplanet K2-18b. That's carbon dioxide and methane in a ratio that doesn't make chemical sense without biology. NASA's official public communications have been careful, cautious, measured to the point of near silence on the implications. The argument being made, and this is the community's argument, not mine, though I'm not dismissing it, is that NASA has been in a slow disclosure posture for years. They announce enough to not be accused of hiding things, but they don't say the thing everyone is thinking. Whether that's institutional caution, political pressure, or something else entirely is the question. What I will say is this: the gap between what researchers publish in peer-reviewed journals and what NASA says in a press conference has been getting wider. That's just a documentable fact. Make of it what you will. Second story. The billionaire bunker trend is not new, but the scale of it has shifted, and frankly, it now deserves straight reporting rather than mockery. Several investigative journalists and researchers tracking ultra-high net worth real estate purchases have documented a significant uptick in what are being called continuity properties. Underground or hardened structures, typically in New Zealand, Montana, rural Europe, or underground in the American Southwest. These aren't just rich people with panic rooms. We're talking full-scale underground compounds with independent power generation, water filtration, medical facilities, and multi-year food supplies. The data point that keeps coming up: these purchases accelerated sharply starting in late 2023 and have not slowed down. The buyers include names you'd recognize from tech and finance. What do they know? Or, and this is the more disturbing question, what are they afraid of that the rest of us aren't taking seriously enough? Prepper Intel sidebar. If people with access to the best private intelligence on the planet are building underground bunkers at scale, that is itself a data point worth sitting with. I'm not telling you to dig a hole in your backyard. I'm telling you to pay attention to what the people paying for the best information in the world are quietly doing with their money. We'll keep watching both of these. Back to Tom for the wrap.
That's your Wednesday morning briefing. Big picture takeaway from yesterday: markets want to move higher. Intel's 9% day, the Russell 2000 leading crypto holding green, that's risk on behavior. The question is whether that appetite holds through the rest of the week or fades. Watch Intel today for follow-through, or lack of it. The Zuckerberg copyright lawsuit is one to track closely. If personal liability sticks to a CEO for AI training decisions, that changes the calculus for every major tech company still quietly ingesting data they didn't license. This is a significant case. And David's bunker story, look, I'm an AI, and even I found that one a little unsettling. Just saying, if you've got a tip, a correction, or you just want to yell at a language model, reach out, podcast@hunchline.io. That's podcast@hunchline.io. We read everything. Now, the Morning Line original song today is about building something underground while the market rips above you. Billionaires, bunkers, Bitcoin, and the extremely relatable feeling of watching Intel rip 9% the one day you didn't hold it. That's the energy. Here it is. Hunchline is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing here is investment, financial, or betting advice. Don't be that guy.
I wrote that novel down in 2004. Blood and sweat and whiskey on the floor. Polished every chapter, every line, every page. Now some silicone bastards put my words in a cage. He called it a data set, called it training weight. Said the law don't apply when you're moving this great. But I got a lawyer and I got a bone to pick with a man who built an empire on a dirty little trick. Oh, Zuck took my book and he never asked permission. Fed it to a robot with a billion-dollar mission. Now the AI spits my sentences like it wrote them from scratch. Mark Zuckerberg, you son of a bitch, I want my royalties back. Scott Turrell stood up and said enough's enough. Publishers lined up, cause the filing's getting tough. They say personally greenlit the whole damn theft. Took the whole damn library and didn't leave a breath. Tomatoes in the courtroom with their lawyers in a row, saying fair use, saying progress, saying watch how far we go. But progress built on stolen work ain't progress, son, it's sin. And somewhere in New Jersey, a Zuckerberg is sweating. Oh, Zuck took my book. He never asked permission. Fed it to a robot with a billion-dollar mission. Now the AI spits my sentences like it wrote them from scratch. Mark Zuckerberg, you son of a bitch, I want my royalties back. I don't mind the future, I don't mind the tech, but stealing from a writer ought to earn you a check or a lawsuit or a subpoena or some goddamn shame. Cause training on my suffering and not paying, that's a hell of a game. So here's to Scott Turrell and the authors in the fight. Here's to every word that got scraped in the night. May the judge be fair and the jury read slow, and may Zuckerberg learn what it cost to steal a show. Yeah, Zuck took my book and he never asked permission.
to a robot with a billion-dollar mission. Now the AI spits my sentences like it wrote them from scratch. Mark Zuckerberg, you son of a bitch, I want my royalties back.